For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Gentleman joins us who's been with us many times before, and I still love the picture on his ex Twitter account with the black bear sitting on the couch in a dump. From The Athletic, host of The Athletic Football Show, his podcast, it's Robert Mays. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
How you guys doing? Yeah, that was supposed to signify the state of the Chicago Bears franchise in like 2019, and I've just never chosen to change it.
You shouldn't. That's just a priceless picture. The best part is the bear is sitting on his butt like the rest of us would on a couch.
Yeah, and in Chicago, we've been digging around in the trash heap for a very long time, so it felt apropos.
But you have a quarterback now. You have a quarterback.
We'll see. Early returns are not great. I mean, it's week one. They are playing against a defense that I'm actually really interested in. I haven't gone back and watched it, but I'm about to do that today, just seeing what Tennessee did with Bernard Wilson. But I'm willing to write off one bad game at the start of your career against what is, I think, a pretty difficult defense to play against.
Okay. With that said, should the Browns write off a pretty difficult start for Deshaun Watson coming back from injury with all kinds of off-the-field issues going on again against a very good Dallas Cowboy team?
Yeah, I went back and I watched the game this morning, and I was actually a little bit more encouraged than I expected to be.
I feel bad for you.
This is the job, right? This is the life that we've chosen. I was actually a little bit more encouraged than I expected to be. I think that that was just a game where you had a cascading effect of just everything going wrong. And I was really impressed with the Cowboys defense and just really impressed not only with the talent that they have, which we know about, right? We know about Micah Parsons. We know about DeMarcus Lawrence. But I just loved the plan. I loved how they manipulated some of the things with the Browns offense. The Browns right now, not surprisingly, when you consider all of the offseason changes, they looked like an offense that was kind of grasping for answers and how they wanted to play. And when the defense on the other side of the ball is full of a bunch of like demons and goblins and they have a really good plan, that's a difficult way to kind of sort through your offense in week one.
All right, so when you watch the Browns side of this thing, how much of that is not being prepared? How much of that was coaching and not being ready for what Dallas? And the other part for me is I want to look in and go, you know what, maybe Dallas is one of the best teams, if not, let's just say one of the best teams in the NFL. I'll leave it at that at this point. And then go back and look at it a few weeks from now and go, okay, now I get it. I understand what I really saw there.
It's tough to say just because this is a defense that they've never played before. You know, so the Cowboys were a very specific thing over the last 3 years with Dan Quinn. You know, they were a team that played a ton of man coverage, and it was pretty simple, all things considered, on that side of the ball. And if you look at what they did with Mike Zimmer on Sunday, it was very different. I mean, just the menu was different, the approach was different, and I think one of the things they did extremely well, going back and watching it, and this is a little granular, but they did a fantastic job of manipulating protections. So they would have Eric Kendricks or some other linebacker mugged up, and then they would be dropping guys out. And the Browns were just consistently wasting offensive linemen. So you'd only have four pass rushers, but you'd have one guy that was wasted, and you'd have, you know, another guy that was, you'd have three guys blocking one, essentially. And so just the ability to manipulate those protections and those numbers, I think, led to a lot of free runners and led to a lot of pressure. And you have a quarterback who, over the last couple of years, has shown that he struggles with that right now. When things are clean for him and he's able to throw the ball in rhythm, he still looks like a guy who has a lot of talent. But when things get a little murkier and a little dirtier in the pocket, he struggles to navigate that space. And so if you're going to have an offensive plan that's consistently allowing pressure because of how defenses are manipulating you, and you're having a quarterback that isn't necessarily set up to deal with that right now, I think you get the end result that you saw on Sunday.
Robert Mays joining us, host of The Athletic Football Show, senior writer for The Athletic. With all that said, all of the news that popped yesterday about Deshaun and another lawsuit and a different type of lawsuit in essence from the other things that were settled. If you're the Browns and you've seen 2 years of this, 2 years in one game, and you've not seen a lot because he played in only 12 games the last 2 years, what would interest you more? Seeing it through the end of the contract and seeing if you can make it work with Deshaun, or seeing if the new situation gives you an out of that contract and you could move on?
100% the latter. I mean, in the best case scenario, you're trying to get average quarterback play out of him, right? He statistically has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league when he's been on the field for the last 3 years. Average would be a borderline miracle. If you can remove yourself from a situation where the best case scenario is average quarterback play for a guy making $65 million a year, yes, I think that you would remove yourself from that situation.
Do you think that can happen just based on what you've heard so far? Do you think there might be enough here to trigger that option?
I'm not a lawyer. I mean, I was looking at some of the things that were written about it over the last 24 hours or so, and you know, it seems like there would be a situation where if he didn't disclose this, and if he didn't disclose this at the signing of the contract, and he were to get suspended, there is language that could potentially allow that to happen. Whether the league would even do that is a different question. You know, whether the league would give the Browns that sort of out, I think, is worth examining and thinking about. So I think there are 20 steps between now and then, but yeah, I absolutely think that would be a better outcome for the Browns than having to try to see what you can get out of him over the next couple of years. Because I think in a lot of ways, guys, like what they've tried to do on offense and how they've tried to build this thing and even bringing in Ken Dorsey and structuring things the way that they have, you look at the numbers, I think he had like 18 dropbacks out of empty on Sunday. It was 7 more than any other quarterback in the league and twice as many as any non-rookie quarterback in football. And what they're doing there is they're just trying to clean things up for him and make things as easy as possible on him. But by doing that and by catering the offense to what he does well, you're just swimming in the deep end of the pool. Like you don't know exactly what you want to be or what you want to do and why. So I think that just trying to remove yourself from this situation, which was, to mix my metaphors, is turned into a little bit of quicksand, that absolutely would be the best case scenario for the Browns.
That said, and something you said stuck with me, Robert, if the NFL would allow that to happen, man, I can't imagine the NFL owners would be anxious for the league to give the Browns an out of this contract that changed the entire pay structure for quarterbacks in the NFL.
I think that's correct. And I think that the league probably isn't happy with how a lot of this has gone. And so I don't know. Again, I have no idea how realistic it is that would play into the decision-making, but I think that we're probably going to have to consider all the layers of this as we think about how it can play out.
Hey, Robert, how about the TV viewers this weekend? Just kind of as a side piece to what we're talking about. I mean, the numbers were up 12% on the traditional TV networks. Numbers were through the roof. They're saying that 21 million peaked into a game this weekend or at some point, or the numbers, high. I mean, way higher than that. I mean, It was one of those weekends where you look at it and we read these stories about how the numbers looked and you're like, wow. Like, I'm trying to figure out what's different about this week than was different than last year.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First week of the season. Tom Brady.
I mean, Tom Brady, listen, that's why Fox is paying him what they're paying him. And a little bit of intrigue always helps. But I think a lot of people are going to watch that Cowboys-Browns game if I were the one calling it. I think it's a couple different things.
You do a nice job, though.
Oh, God, I'd be horrible on live television. I can't even describe to you how bad it would be. I think that there's a few different considerations for me, and this is all anecdotal, but the primetime games were really good matchups, and they were really good games. Like, the Packers have such a national fan base. This is just, I was trying to go out and watch the game on Friday with my brother in Chicago. We went to three different sports bars and couldn't get a seat. Three. I mean, it was absolutely wild. And I think the Packers are a big part of that. But it was just something where it's like, man, football is back and people are excited. So I think the primetime games being the quality of the matchups that they were. And then the other side of this, and I don't know how much this actually matters, but I think you could really peddle some pretty good hope for almost every single franchise in the league coming into Sunday. Even the teams that looked like a disaster, like the Giants and the Panthers, you could spin it as such that if you were a Panthers fan, it was worth tuning in to see what Bryce Young would look like with Dave Canales. And I think that NFL teams in general have just gotten really good at just building their teams in the sense of like, oh, this makes sense. This makes sense. I can get behind this. And it doesn't always work, but I think that these days it's just easier to peddle hope to fan bases than I feel like it's ever been for one reason or another.
Who jumped out at you in week one around the league? Anybody stun you with a performance, good or bad?
That's a good question. I mean, the Panthers were unwatchable, which was really tough. I think that when we did this a little bit on our show today, it's so hard to figure out what's real and what's not from week one, just because you don't know what the competition is. Like, I watched what the Bucs did on offense, and I'm like, okay, you know, that was the best, most efficient offense in football on Sunday. There's a chance Washington's defense is like a bottom five unit this year. They're old, they're slow, they're rebuilding. So it's kind of hard to understand the context. The same goes for the Saints. I mean, the Saints' offense looked dynamic. It looked explosive. But there's a chance that the Panthers are truly the worst defense in football. So those two, I think, come with some caveats. Obviously, I think that the Niners looked phenomenal offensively against a good Jets defense. You know, they're going to be reckoned with. I love the way that the Chiefs' offense looked against Baltimore. I think that their goal this offseason and adding all that speed was just to make things a little bit easier on themselves, create a little bit more space. They had such a hard time manufacturing offense last year, and you know, the early returns, step one, that plan definitely worked. I'm trying to think of what else jumped out. The Eagles' offense, I think, was something that I noticed. I mean, this is a team that last year, by the end of the season, the structure of what they were on that side of the ball was just completely not workable. Like they had run out of road for the type of offense they wanted to play. It had left them completely void of answers against modern defenses. And so many of the things that they were doing on Friday, whether it was the motions or just some of the answers they had against blitzes, it was just a light bulb moment where I was like, okay, like this, if they're going to look like this in terms of how they want to play offensively, the talent can lift them, and I feel a lot better about where this team can go. But week one is just one of those things where even the things that look good or look bad, it's best to kind of take a step back, take a breath, and understand that we're probably not going to have real answers for a little while here.
Robert, great to have you with us again. Thank you, buddy.
Anytime, guys.
Robert Mays, The Athletic, host of The Athletic Football Show, and you can follow him on X, at Robert Mays. It's M-A-Y-S, at Robert Mays, R-O-B-E-R-T, M-A-Y-S.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.